ship and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Ah, yes, highway patrol, highway patrol. That means one thing, and it's the return of Safety Talk. It's been a while, but we've got him back in. Sergeant Morgan from the DPS is here with us today, teaching us and talking to us about all the laws and regulations and staying safe on those roadways throughout the entire state of Texas. And it is a lot of roadways in the state of Texas that we've got going through there. Sarge,
I read like TxDOT maintains about 80,000 miles of roadway in Texas.
A lot of miles. That's a lot of roadway.
Wow. So reflecting back on Thanksgiving, going to was okay. Yeah. Kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Coming back, not so good.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll talk about a few of them. I just got notified this morning we had another fatality in Grimes County. Like I say, this has been a tough week here. So this morning would have been a great morning to have your headlights on, as I've ran into fog coming down here. I don't know.
Really?
It kind of lightened up once I got down into Washington County, but Burleson County and that area. Pretty heavy fog up through that way. Mm-hmm. And so the two times you're required to have your headlights on, 30 minutes before sunrise, 30 minutes after sunset, and 1,000 feet visibility. So this morning, in some areas, would have qualified on that 1,000 feet part. So make sure you have your lights. Make sure you can be seen on the roadway. Certainly, that's the main thing.
Use those low beams.
In low beam. Yes, absolutely. Looked this morning at the fatality rate, and as of this morning, TxDOT has posted 3,158 fatalities. Now, if we remain kind of what our monthly average has been, which, you know, it's going to go up during the holidays, we just more and more people on the roadway. I think they estimated somewhere around 49 million folks was on roadways going to and from different places through Thanksgiving. So it just a lot more people at one given time that are on the roadway. So the chances of having an accident increases. That's just the way it is. So, but, you know, we were at 3,639 last year. I tell people we range anywhere from probably 3,700 fatalities a year on our state. But we were a little bit lower last year, and we have a little bit chance, believe it or not, have a pretty decent chance even being lower this year. So even though we had in my district had a pretty busy week on fatalities, a couple of the main factors I was asked one time, if I had to pick up a main factor on the fatalities, what would that be? One that I can almost look at all the crashes and see there was some type of driver inattention. One was a person missed the road signage and went up the wrong way and had a head on the wrong way of a bridge. And this is daylight. Mm. So something's going on. A lot of times when roads separate, you'll see the wrong way signs. If you look at the markings of a roadway, they'll have different, the yellows, the double stripe yellows, these kind of colors mean things to people, should mean something to you. If you're at a roadway, especially at night, and you're going down and you see red reflectors looking at you, that's a clue, okay? Yeah. Red's not good, okay?
Yeah, red, yeah.
Red, not good, okay? So that's a clue that you're going the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't know that, you know that today. And a blue one means you can get water, okay? That's all that blue one means. So, Craig, what are you doing over there, man?
What are you doing over there?
Oh, man.
So, come on.
So driver inattention, we had two of the accidents where somebody actually got rear-ended going down the road. And that's a falling too close issue, not paying attention, and that's what happens when you are falling too. It's that split second you look off, you're doing something, you look up. Somebody's had to slow down because of traffic or whatever, and now we have a rear-end collision. So you are responsible under the falling too close law. That is part of that law where you follow at a safe, clear distance where it prevents you being involved in an accident. That's part of that law, and that's what they normally are talking about in that. So, again, we just really need to concentrate on the main task, and that main task is the operation of a motor vehicle going down the roadway. So, just kind of wanted to point that out. And this morning's crash, my understanding, one of the factors is going to be a gentleman or a person was trying to pass using the improved shoulder going around lost control and then went in the oncoming lane. So we talked about the only reason how you can use the improved shoulder to go around a vehicle. If that vehicle is slowing to make a left turn, then yes, you can use the shoulder, but you have to do that in a safe manner to be able to do that. So I'm going to get the rest of the factors on that, and we'll all get with your news station after that and give them that information as we move through the day. So what do you got? You guys, oh, that's not for me. That's sticky.
No, that's just.
I don't see a white light flashing. So
no questions today, right now. I've checked emails.
Now,
again.
If you were one of them travelers and you saw something on the roadway or something that got your interest, and I'll entertain that question or whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in people's things that they see while they're on vacation, especially on the roadway. If you have some of them callers out there, fine. I'll take that. Just kind of curious what they're – so far as trivia, I left y'all with the longest road that we had in Texas last time, I believe. Mm-hmm. Today I'm going to ask, what is the oldest law enforcement agency in the U.S.?
Okay.
And what year was that?
Oh, and you want the year, too?
Well,
okay.
I mean, it's going to
– all right.
Okay.
Okay.
The longest – the oldest law enforcement agency in the U.S., what okay. year? Interesting.
Okay, then. You know the answer, 836-9937, 836-9937, and there, what is the prize today?
Oh, yes, Smitty's, $25.
$25.
So, to Smitty's. From Smitty's. Okay. That's the one that we tried to give away one other time, and they didn't come pick it up, so we're going to try to give it away today.
Okay.
That's the deal. You got to come get it. You win it, you know. They don't think I'm going to go.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right. Know the answer. 979-836-9937. Let's take a quick break here real fast. We'll come back. We'll kind of pick up where we left off and give you more safe to talk after this on KWHI AM 1280 FM 101.7.
At ASCO Equipment, we don't have offices. We have service and support centers because we're in business to do two things, serve and support our customers and do it better than anyone else. It's why we rely on Case Construction Equipment, because they're on it too. From the big jobs to the small jobs and everything in between, Case Equipment is practical and intuitive. Hardcore, versatile machines we're proud to service and support. Whatever it is, at ASCO, we're on it.
The Brazos Valley Livestock Commission Company announces their fall replacement sale Saturday, December 8th, starting at 11. There will be bred cows, pairs, open-end heifers, bred females, and pairs, including big and fancy crossbred heifers bred to LBW Lasker Angus Bull, Brayford heifers bred to LBW Angus Bull, some pair heavy-bred Brangus cows, heavy-bred Gert X Hereford heifers, heavy-bred Brahman cows, Brahman pairs, Beefmaster heifers, crossbred cows, Red Angus cows, and Brangus type cows. Open heifers include Gert X Hereford heifers, Brangus heifers, all one raising out of Cavender's Ranch bulls, and Chocolate Brayford heifers weighing 750. Bulls include 10 Double Creek Angus bulls and 10 Pat Griswold Charlet bulls. Most will be sorted into uniform groups suitable for 4-H and FFA projects. That's the annual fall replacement sale this Saturday, December 7th at Brazos Valley Livestock Commission, 6097 East State Highway 21 in Bryan. Find out more online at BrazosValleyLivestock.com.
Do you have things left from your garage sale or estate sale? Donate your leftovers to Forever Young Resale Shop. This is Virginia Baker, manager at the Forever Young Resale Shop. All the money we earn from the sale of your donated items goes to help feed Washington County homebound seniors. Plus, every time you buy from Forever Young, you're also helping. So for items too good to throw away, but you have no use for them anymore, donate to Forever Young Resale Shop at 702 East Alamo in Brenham. We really need your donations and your help.
J&J Packing Company in Brookshire is a USDA federally inspected wholesale and retail meat distributor specializing in pork products, fresh or frozen. Need a roasting pig or custom processing? Call J&J Packing at 281-375-6060 or place an order for your next barbecue or party. J&J Packing is a proud sponsor of the Washington County area sporting events. J&J Packing on West Highway 90 in Brookshire, Texas.
Are you looking for an easy, cost-effective way to improve the overall appearance of your home? Franco's Wood Floors in Brenham is proud to bring the finest wood floors to Washington County with free quotes, competitive prices, and countless styles. At Franco's Wood Floors in Brenham, there's nothing more important than customer service. Satisfaction is guaranteed. So give them a call at 979-203-7003. Franco's Wood Floors in Brenham. Beautiful floors for much less.
Is your heating unit working properly? Modern Air Solutions, your locally owned heating and cooling technicians, specializes in the sales and installation of energy efficient heating and cooling systems. But they can also service any problems with an existing unit. If it's not warm in your house, call Modern Air Solutions at 979-451-5004. Also, for more information, find them on Facebook. Modern Air Solutions, honest work with always a fair price. Financing available. License number TACLA 74166E.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Community Corner on KWHI AM 1280 and FM 101.7. Community Corner is a program to keep you informed about happenings in Washington County. Tuesday, December 10th, Craig will be speaking with Dale Ramey about the Chapel Hill Home Tour and Amanda Stoltz and Christy Yackel with the Washington County Toys for Tots. If you have an event that you are planning and would like to share the information with the public, contact Holly at 979-836-3655. Community Corner, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Friendly Country KWHI.
Welcome back to Safety Talk today, KWHI, AM 1280 from 101.7. Craig Montana being joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan from the DPS in studio with us today. And we did have a winner. We had a winner. During the break,
we've established that we have listeners to your audience.
They were listening to you today.
Okay.
Because it's been ringing off the hook for this question.
I have to be quite honest with you, and I told Craig during this break, I was 100% on the agency.
Mm-hmm.
But depending where you read, the year is kind of vague-ish.
Yeah.
They have here on my little stat sheet, mm-hmm. as always.
Yeah.
Texas Rangers, 1823. Now, then you had something shown they officially came maybe 1835. So,
yeah.
But yes, the Texas Rangers. Now, you got to remember why they were established. You know, when people were coming from the east, going to the west, you know, don't you watch the Western shows?
My dad does.
I mean, I watched the Lone Ranger last night.
Lone Ranger.
Him and Tonto.
There you
okay.
go. I.O. Silver.
They were protecting settlers as they come through the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that was the agency, Texas Rangers.
Okay.
And you thought what?
I'd figure maybe.
You say IRS? What'd you say?
No, the Secret Service.
Secret Service.
You know, they were protecting presidents.
Well, they were
treasury agents before that.
To your point, if they were there, it's a secret. Yeah. That's why I didn't know.
Yeah. They were treasury agents, you know, counterfeits and all that stuff.
They were already trying to get our money back in them days?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
It might have been around for a long time, man.
Well, the Boston Tea Party was probably before that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would just, it was a guess. It was an educated guess.
Wild guess. Anyway. Did we have this question or was I just streaming it up? Oh, yellow sleeve.
I was going to mention
our
winner.
Are you
tardy?
Oh, what is? Oh, I'm sorry.
Our winner was Patty Gerlitz.
And where's she from?
From Burton.
Oh, Burton.
From Burton, just on the road.
Oh, yes. Good sausage, by the way.
Yeah. You got that?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
All right. Okay. We want to, again, appreciate Smithies for the day, yes. sponsoring today's program mm-hmm. with the $25. I don't ask for much. This is, if you want to sit, if you want to know what a quid pro quo is, we just gave one, okay? You, if you answer the question, you get the prize, right? If you don't, you don't get the prize. That's a quid pro quo to me. So anyway, there it is, Smithies. Okay. So, hey, look, I'm learning. I watch TV, too, just like everybody else. But I think I had this question on this program, and I knew it was there somewhere, and I found it. And I think I had somebody who said, hey, they were behind one of these oil field type trucks, and there was a white light or something left on, and they were wondering about whether they could do that or not.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think it was last episode. I think.
So I knew it was there. I did not have that on one of my stat sheet things, but I did find it. So if you go to 547-303, it says, unless expressly provided otherwise, a lighting device or reflector mounted on the rear of a vehicle must be reflect red. Now, that's the red color. Now, on the white light, let me find the deal on the white light. There's a deal on the white light that's, well, basically what they're saying, you can must be red. But there's, now, don't get that mixed up with your turn signals. It can be amber, red, or in that color range. But what they're saying here is it can't be a white light. So I asked a couple of the CVE guys that do the inspections on these type of trucks and stuff, and I asked them if they've seen that. And one guy told me what typically happens is they'll go out into a field or where they go to get the do whatever they're doing with these type of trucks, and they have and a lot of times it's pretty dark, so they'll have a toggle switch and they'll flip them on to provide lighting while they're out there. And sometimes when they go to move and go on the highway, they forget to cut that off. So that's kind of the what's going on. So, yes, I did see that. They have seen it. They have stopped them and stuff. So, yes, white lights to the rear, not good, unless it's a license plate light. That's one white light. Mm-hmm. We do allow visibility 50 feet. Now, my understanding is, somebody was telling me the other day, they're taking that 50 feet away, just saying white light, illuminating the plate where it can be red. 50 feet, you know, we don't have tape measures out there. It's an estimated guess to me when law enforcement can either see your license plate or they not. They can't. I mean, if they get within a car or two distance and it's obscured, you've got some kind of tent covering over it, or you've backed your trailer into it several times and it's mangled, or you've got a license plate cover over that, you know, people ask me, can you get stopped if the part of the Texas is covered? You know, the dealerships, when they sell cars, they like to put their where you buy the car at. Yeah. Okay, I get it. But they've had to make these things where they're not covering Texas up. So, because if half of the Texas is covered, yes, you can get stopped. Really? And that's actually held up in criminal court of appeals.
Really?
Yes. So make sure your license plate is totally legible. No white lights to the rear. Light must be red unless it's signal. It can be red to amber on that part. So I thought that was here on this question. Mm-hmm. I had another this morning I was talking. I don't know if I've asked this question before. There's two type. This may interest you. There are two type of trailers out there get daytime lighting exemptions. And I'm not talking about make and model. I'm just talking about types. Do you have a clue what I'm even talking about? I'll give you one.
Okay.
One is a farm trailer. You see what I mean? It's not a brand. It's a type.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. There's another trailer out there that gets a daytime lighting exemption. A lot of times when it comes to farm trailer, them hay buggies and stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of times you'll see they won't have no lights or whatever. So. But that's one. But there is one other one out there. I'm just going to leave that as it is because I may come back next time and use that for let everybody just soak on that one for a little bit. But look, one of my accidents that we had, I want to talk about. I always tell people this. Look, if you're stranded on the side of the roadway, we tell people get completely off far as you can. If there's a private parking lot or a private driveway or whatever, you're not blocking somebody's access or something like that, but you can use it temporarily to do what you need to do and do that. Now, this particular and people will ask, especially in the Houston area, if you get involved in a minor accident and you can safely drive the vehicle off to the shoulder They want you to do that. They don't want you just to sit there in the middle of the road. Now, if your vehicle's disabled, you're hurt or whatever, I get it, whatever, you just, it's just what I'm fixing to say can happen, and this is another reason why we like people to do that. There was a person that involved in a minor accident. They had some reason had struck the rear of a trailer of an 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler goes up the roadway and pulls off to the shoulder. He had felt the impact. That vehicle's sitting there, and then here comes another 18-wheeler. Now, they had just time to put their flashers on, but the two occupants were still in the vehicle when it got hit. So what I'm telling you now, I don't know how much I still don't have the time frame down, but it is a point to make. If you come disabled in your vehicle, I get it. Turn your flashers on, especially this was an early morning accident. Make sure if you have that, but get out of the vehicle and get off the roadway as far as you can. Get on, I mean, because that time of morning, you know, you have impaired drivers. You have people that have been up driving all night, fatigued. Their eyes are probably playing tricks on them. They don't get it. They see flashing light. They're still coming at, you know, they don't get it. That's the disabled vehicle until it's too late. And then, so, again, if you ever find yourself in a situation, minor accident or whatever, and you can get that vehicle off the roadway, do that. It's close as practical to the crash scene. Or if you come disabled, you know, certainly don't stay in your vehicle because certainly enough, somebody's not going to be paying attention. And but we had one fatality out of that crash, which started originally a minor accident. So let's see here. Any more phone calls?
There's got to
be some questions out there. I don't like just throwing information out there, but I'll keep going and do the best I can here. I got this question, and I'm actually, as of today, I'm waiting confirmation out of Austin. I had a county commissioner call me, said that it was either him or one of his employees was sitting in some type of classroom environment, and they were told that to them to operate a maintainer. Now, people, if you don't know what a maintainer is, it's if you live on a county road, a gravel road, and you see these tractors go by with a blade, most time these are maintainers. That, you know, there's different, you can call them what you want, but they're considered a maintainer type. And then you got, like, backhoes and stuff like that. In other words, construction equipment. Mm-hmm. Are you required to have a license to operate that vehicle on the roadway? Or is that commissioner, his employees are required to operate that on some type of roadway? And sometimes you see them going up down the roadway. And so if you go to the commercial motor vehicle booklet, and it talks about CDL exemptions. It is not a construction equipment for some reason is not listed as a farm tractor is. Military vehicles listed, your recreational vehicles are listed. Now there are the recreational thing we've established here. You have to have a Class B. If it's over 26,001, a Class B non-CDL, unless you start doing enterprise or commercial, any kind of business out of them, selling stuff like that, then you lose your exemption, and then you would have to go back to the CDL status. So always make sure you don't get caught doing that. That's a game breaker. Like I say, your farmers and stuff with the big tractors and the plows and stuff, you know, the farmers are the first ones get it. And then there's something about cotton gin trailers and stuff like that. But anywhere on this list of about five or six different exemptions, there was nothing ever listed for construction. So I was running this question through our driver license people, and I was getting an answer, but it was like I am today. I'm here to say that I'll have to wait and get confirmation on my answer. It's kind of a gray area, what it looks like to me. Now, if you was to say, we're going to go by weight in that motor grader or maintainer, whatever it is 26,001 or more, a typical vehicle would say, yes, you got to have a minimum of Class B license, CDL, on that. But is there exemption from that? The only part of this that I think there is an exemption is if you go to 522.004, I believe it is, somewhere in that area, it talks about exemptions, and it lists what a commercial motor vehicle is, and it gives a section that defines that. If you go to commercial motor vehicle, it talks about transporting passengers or in freight and stuff like that. A motor grader doesn't do that, or a maintainer or a backhoe. So it doesn't really meet the definition of commercial vehicle. So I'm thinking there is an exemption in there. It's just not listed in our book as of yet. So, but I am waiting on confirmation on that. So if you are a county commissioner out there and you may be interested what my final answer on that's going to be. Now, I will say this. Most of them guys, they haul that stuff sometimes on the roadway. They got low boys and stuff. And a lot of them guys may already have a Class B CDL based on the other stuff they operate other than the maintainer. So it's never been a big issue. My question to the CDL people in Hearn, where all the CDL licenses are issued now in that area, have you had anybody show up here with a construction equipment and say, I need a CDL license? And they said no. So, well, there's a reason for that. Let's see a light blinking there.
We just had one
okay.
up here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
I was calling about the questions that he's talking about right now about the CDL with the maintainer and backhoe. Wouldn't speed have something to do with that? Because them vehicles, you know, they don't run 50, 55 mile an hour down the road.
Right.
They're not capable of running that speed.
Yeah, CDL, here's how to answer a CDL question. To me, when I tell people, when you look whether or not you have to ask yourself whether I'm required to have a CDL, there's three things you got to look at. One is weight. Number one is weight, 26,001. Number two is passengers, okay? You know, if you drive a van now and it's 15 or less, including the driver, like daycare centers may have, churches you see have these type of vans, that's a Class C license, okay? Now, when I get over to 16 to 24, that's a Class C CDL. So that's where you got to really pay attention to the amount of passengers you're carrying. And number three to me that doesn't get talked about a whole lot is hazmat. If you carry any placard amount of hazmat, minimum Class C CDL. Now, far as speed, it's never listed far as the CDL. But where speed comes in, what you're talking about, on the only thing that would address that, does a maintainer go 25 miles or less, or does it actually go more than that? If it goes more than that, then they're not required to have the slow moving emblem on the back. But some of them maintainers I've seen go down the road, I think they'll go over 25 miles an hour. So a lot of people think that slow moving emblem means more than what it does. And all that is supposed to tell the motoring public is that that vehicle operating on the roadway is not doing no more than 25 miles an hour. So that's the best way I can answer the CDL part.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, when I heard the question, to me it was just surprising because, you know, most of the time they're working and they're not running. And I guess even when the grader's up and they're running down the road, I guess they are running, you know, 45, 50.
Well, sometimes what you'll see is they'll finish one road up, right? And the next county road is maybe a mile or two down a U.S. highway or whatever. And so they, you know, that's when you run them. Then, so, you know, depending what county you're in, and you see a lot more of it. There's some counties where they got paved county roads. You don't see it as much. But it's a good question. I think the reason it's not answered, it's just they don't answer it one way or another. And I think it's something they need to consider about putting in that list of exempt vehicles. That's because certainly There seems to be some confusion because we got people out there instructing commissioners that got to have one. And certainly I'm thinking no, but I can't 100% say that until somebody tells me out of Austin, and that's the answer I'm waiting for.
Right. All right. Well, I just thought I would throw that in there because I didn't know if that was a factor or not.
Yeah, speed would not be a factor. Speed has no factor on whether or not a person has to have a CDL or not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call this morning. 979-836-9937 for Safety Talk today. Take another quick break here. We'll do that. We'll come back and give you some more time here at the Safety Talk this morning.
Need again, more questions.
Yeah, 979-836-9937. I do check the emails as well. Mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. Back after this.
Maurice Graber here with Washington County Tractor. 2019 has been an exciting year as in June we opened our new Kubota location on Highway 290 just east of Brenham. We have a big inventory of 2019 year model Kubota equipment with year-end discounts and special financing rates available. Also, Section 179 may offer you possible tax relief that can make it the right time to get that new Kubota you need. Thanks to our customers for our great 2019. Happy holiday wishes from everyone at WC Tractor Kubota.
For over 50 years, Baylor Scott and White Health has been helping Brenham get well and stay well. That's because they don't just work here, they live here too. When not with patients, you'll find them at the park or hanging out downtown. Their commitment to the Brenham community is something you can count on for years to come. Learn more at bswhealth.com/Brenham. Baylor Scott and White Health, changing healthcare for the better.
Landowners, if you're looking for efficient and quality dirt work, look no further than Mayfair Construction. Mayfair Construction can take care of any and all your dirt working needs, like land clearing, site preparation, or pond and lake construction. Our equipment operators have the knowledge and the experience to get the job done right. Whether you have been on your land for years or you're a first-time landowner, Mayfair Construction can help you realize your land's fullest potential. A call to Mayfair Construction is your first step towards your job being complete. You can't do it yourself, so give Alan Granger a call at 979-836-4151. That's Alan Granger at 979-836-4151. Or look them up on Facebook, Mayfair Construction, LLC. Mayfair Construction proudly serves Washington and surrounding counties as well as the Brazos Valley. Mayfair Construction, we will move your dirt.
Apple Ford and Brenham invites you to join them downtown at the Courthouse Square this Friday evening at 5:30 for the lighting of the Christmas tree. Friendly Country KWHI will be broadcasting live thanks to our sponsorship, Apple Ford, where you'll find a vehicle for every lifestyle. Shop 24/7 at appleford.com or stop in Highway 290 West in Brenham, where one of their friendly sales staff will meet you at the door. Then join Apple Ford for the lighting of the Christmas tree in downtown Brenham this Friday.
The Blinn College District is proud to present its second annual Sounds of the Season concert on Saturday, December 7th at Festival Hill in Round Top. This special 3 p.m. performance features vocal and instrumental music students from Blinn College and choir students from Brenham and Trinity High Schools. Together, they will perform John Rutter's Magnificat in one of the most beautiful concert halls in the nation. $10 tickets are available at the door and at blinn.edu/boxoffice. For information, call 979-830-4288.
Private Financial can help you make financial choices that reflect your values, something we call the Wise with Money journey. Our financial professionals live, work, and worship in your communities, providing one-on-one guidance to help you feel comfortable and confident about your future. Thrivent Financial is part of Thrivent, a not-for-profit financial services organization serving Christians. We can connect you to products, services, and member benefits that can help you reach your goals. Find out more. Call the Five Star Financial Group at 979-836-0693.
Join all your friends for Christmas of yesteryear at the Small Town Christmas this Friday and Saturday in downtown Belleville. KWHI will be there broadcasting live on Friday from 4 till 6:30. This broadcast is brought to you in part by the Belleville Chamber of Commerce, the Kenny Store, San Bernard Electric, and Belleville Rental. Come see Santa, play in the snow, and all the other fun activities at the Small Town Christmas in Belleville this Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
Welcome back once again. It is Safety Talk on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7. Craig Montana with our good buddy, Sergeant Jimmy Morgan, here from the DPS. And Morgan, always appreciate you coming in and talking with us and visiting with the people.
Well, we've established we've had listeners.
Yes.
We've established when we go on break, we get phone calls.
Yeah.
And some people, okay, I get
that works
it. I get it.
And people are, you know, I don't know if he's listening this morning, but people are, you know, somebody called in wondering where old Steve is.
Yeah, that was the hardest question of all the ones that we got. That was the hardest question. I didn't have the answer. Where's Steven?
Where's old?
Well, he said, where's your sidekick?
Sidekick. I like that one.
Yeah. I guess he's a busy man down there in Rosenberg. I don't know.
Steven Woodard.
He'll be back one of these days.
Yeah, we'll get him in.
Let's go to the first caller, and this is an excellent question. And man, them lights quit. We're going to run out of time now. But anyway,
let's get to one real fast here. Good morning, Safety Talk today. What can we do for you?
Got a question on the farm roads. Do the highway department ever pay attention to how wide? You know, if farm equipment is traveling on the road, couldn't they make the shoulders on each side of the road a little bit wider? So with farm equipment,
yes, sir.
You know, the ordinary traffic can pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, so typically an improved shoulder, they like to make them somewhere around 12 foot. Okay. And farm equipment in itself, just the tractor alone, sometimes is that or wider. So, they need to do as good a job as they can. And I know I get it. Stay on the roadway as long as you can, but you need to have that mirror and pay attention to that traffic coming up behind you. And when you get the opportunity to move over, even if you have to do that into the grass, certainly you should do that, allow that traffic to go by, and not stack traffic up. But farm to market roads are farm to market roads, and typically that's where we see our farm equipment. If they had the extra money, and yes, that would be something they could do to make it a little safer. But unfortunately, I've seen farm to market roads with shoulders, and I've seen them without shoulders. So depending, I guess, how much traffic volume is on these things, whether or not they add the shoulders or not. But I will tell you this, adding shoulders to a roadway, especially a farm-to-market road, reduces the type of number of crashes because it gives you an alternate lane to use to avoid a crash. So they're not only effective in farm use, but they're also effective just actually reducing crashes in general. So good question, good point. But TxDOT, certainly if they had a little extra money, they can do that. The shoulders, an extra wide shoulder would be nice. And that allow that slower traffic also to use it when they're not doing the maintaining the speed that's out there. So I think everybody would appreciate that. So, yeah, good call.
What I was adding to 1155, they did some work on that a couple of years ago, and they took the shoulder part out. You just have enough room to put a wheel on the grass.
Mm.
And got a lot of up and down hills. You run up on something going up a hill, and farm equipment cannot get over to where they need to get over.
Right. Now, have you had any discussion with TxDOT here out of the Brenham office?
No, not exactly.
I would, if you get time, if you can either drive over there or give them a call and let them know what your concerns are and let them log that down. And maybe there's somebody will give you a reason what's going on with that road, if there's any future plans or not. But I would address the question with TxDOT on that situation.
Yeah, because they just did that road over from going back towards Washington.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I get your point. Appreciate your call this morning.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. There we go. Phone calls here today. Got a lot of them we're going to get into. A couple questions we got to answer with a few minutes left of the show.
Yeah. 290. Crash. Okay. Person goes through somebody's fence late at night. And you're the landowner. And you don't know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And cattle get out. What happens? So it was a good question. So what? Let me tell you, in my career, far as the 20 years I spent working crashes on the highways before I took this gig, and I would tell you this, that when I, first thing I looked at when I drove up, when somebody went through somebody's fence, whether or not there was livestock. Now, depending where you're at and the communication between the county and the troopers and the dispatch, dispatch calls here in certain counties are different. Typically your county dispatch would have all the ranchers and stuff, their name. They would have, sometimes they would even have the brand, whatever their brand was, but they would have a phone number, a contact, emergency contact number. It don't have to be a crash. Maybe a tree falls on the fence, cows get out. They want to know who to call and give them information. So the trooper typically would call the county and say, hey, look, I'm working a crash 3 miles on FM, whatever. See if you can look on your log to see who that person may belong to. Let's give them a call. If they're not the owner, can you see if they know who the owner may be so we can get somebody out of here? Not only to put the cattle up, which we're going to try to do if livestock is out, you know, but we're going to try to figure out once we get them in, can, you know, a lot of times the record driver, after they pull the vehicle out of there, if it's still in the pasture, they'll try to figure out a way. Can they throw a couple of strands of barbed wire fence until the fence can be finally repaired later on the date or whatever it may be? So that's typically what happens. Now, as far as the responsibility of that landowner, that's not his fault. A civil liability. Now, I would tell any farmer, rancher, I have sheep and I have liability on my livestock. And, you know, you never know how these things are going to go. I would say typically a court would not find you liable on that. The person, it's not your fault that somebody ran through your fence. So I think it would fall back on the person that caused the accident to begin with. If somebody else had another accident out of that, I think their insurance would be the one covering not only your fence, but the liability part from another crash because of that happening. That's the way I think it would go. Gentleman was asking about carrying a dozer, farm use, whatever. You can do that. You got to watch out for permits. Typically, CDL, when it comes to CDL use on the licensing part, is that if you have like two different ranches within 150 miles apart, you're exempt from CDL on that weight over that 26,001. And there's such thing as a covered farm vehicle where you still get the exemption. That just come into effect the last couple of years. But you're certain, your securement's still there that you're required to do. But depending if you're a farmer, rancher, depending how that goes, at the time you got stopped, the CVE trooper is going to have to sit there and decide what you're exempt from and what you're not, if you're a farmer, and how that applies. But I see a flashing light right there. You got one more time?
We got 1 minute.
Okay.
1 minute.
Well, can we answer that?
If you can get in 1 minute here.
Sure.
Very quickly today. Oops. Oh. Nope. No way there.
Well, I appreciate the calls. I love it when people have, these are good questions. Yeah. That's why I like the phone calls, because these are questions that I think are vital that we need to get answered. And certainly I enjoy that. So I thank your audience for that. And I'll try to make it back. Let's see here. I know we're approaching Christmas. And
I have you on for the 19th. Is what
you
have
me for the 19th, and I will be back.
And that'll be the last one of the year.
Yes, sir.
That'll be it. So, all right. Again, we got about a couple seconds left here. Questions, how do the people go? I'll get those answered again.
So 979-776-3147, or you want to email Craig, he'll pass that email on to me, and we'll get your question answered.
There you go. KWHI AM K269 GU FM Brenham. This has been Safety Talk.